ngavalame ehlo sithandazi. Baba wethu oyingcwele yiso wenkosi uJesu, ekuseni inkosi siyabonga ukusondela phambi kwakho. Sibantwana bakho inkosi siqhamuka ezindaweni ngokuhlukahlukana. Ngemizindlo ehlukahlukene kodwa baba sibonga ukukhululwa nguwe manje siza endlini yakho. Baba siyakhuleka sivule imicondo, sivule inkosi izinhliziyo. Masifunde inkosi ngokwezilakho ngokuyala kwalo. Namanje ekuseni Jehova khuluma kithi baba, usebenzisa izwi lakho, usebenzisa inceku yakho inkosi oyikhethile namhlanje. Khuluma kithi baba, usiyala ngoba izwi lakho baba leyona lenzelwe ukona ukuyala kuza silungiseleke inkosi ukubuya kwenkosi uJesu Kristu. Namanje ekuseni Jehova sazofundisana inkosi. Hlala kithi, sihlale kuwe, ize ibuye inkosi uJesu. Siyabonga. Singathi sonke amen. Bese singahlala phansi ke ebukhoneni benkosi. Daniel chapter number 3. We are continuing, brethren, on our study in the book of Daniel, as we have studied before and had a little bit of break. So we shall read chapter number 3, starting from verse 1 to
7.
Then we read the Sotho, then I will read from the ESV.
Yare khosi Nebukadnezar a ka sentswantso sa gauta. Bo phama ba sona ele di chimara tse mashume a mabedi a metso e supileng. Botenya ba sona ele di metara tse tharo. A se emisa phuleng ya dura na henya Babilona. Sa le khosi Nebukadnezar a me mama ho sana le ba busisi le ba laudi le ba eletsi le ba le bo ramatlotlo le ba ahludi le mapolesa le ba busi bohle ba dina go re ba beteng ha o gakola se tsatso se go tsile ka dina tsa ane as MC ke ya ba ma bo sane le ba busisi le ba laudi le ba eletsi le bo ramatlotlo le ba ahludi le mapolesa le ba busi bohle ba dina ba putse ya bohle go tla gakola se tsatso se wena ka nazara asine asineng as MC ke ba se tla ba ema ka pele go se tsotse se o ne ka nazara a se a ne a se emisitse ya ba se budi se ho le tsa ha holo sere lona ba to ba di tsaba tsohle le ba me rape yohle le ba dipuo tsohle taelo ke ena ha halutla ho letsa lenaka le le kodilo le harepa le le kope le seletsa se kgwele di le shome le di phala le mino ya mifuta yohle le tiela fatse le khumamela se sotso sa gauta so go se le ka nna ga a se emisi teng mal le mang ya sotso le tiela fatse a go khumamela se tswantsho hang hang o tla agelwa ka ga se bupi se tukang sa malakabo ka baka leo itse hang hang ha o utlwahala ho lla ha lenaka le ha le kodilo le ha harepa le ha le kope le ha se letsa se di kgwele di le shone le mmino wa mefuta yohle batho ba ditšhaba tsohle le merabe yohle le ba dipuo tsohle ba itiela fatshe ba kgomamela setshwantsho sa gauta seo kgosi Nebukadnezara a ne a se emisi.
The king Nebukadnezar made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, and the counselors, and the treasurers, and the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the province to come to the dedication of the image that the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, and the counselors, and the treasurers, the justices, and the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces, gathered for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and tongues, or languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn," all this kind of music, You are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whosoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the burning furnace. Therefore, as soon as all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, the lyre, and all the kind of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that the king has set up. May the good God bless the reading of his word. A foolish world. That is what we're going to look at today. Coming to this book of Daniel, brethren, we learn that it teaches us of how to live, how to behave, how to remain godly in an ungodly world. We are taught in the book of Daniel how to trust in God even when everything is against us as Christians. We learn the kind of a God, what kind of a God that we worship, and what is he capable of. Most of all here today, brothers and sisters, looking at verse number 1 to 7 of chapter 3, we will learn then what kind of people does God has to put up with. Be patient. What kind of people God has to be patient with? And in looking at that, brothers and sisters, we will see also then what kind of people and what kind of practices that we as Christians must avoid and must be careful of. Because these are kind of things, brothers and sisters, that God is not going to put up with or be patient with for a very long time. There will come a time where God is no longer patient with this. So we shall look at this foolishness of this world as the foolishness of King Nebuchadnezzar. And for us then, brothers and sisters, to understand biblically fully what foolishness is biblically, is to look maybe at Psalm 14, verse number 1. So for us to understand what I mean by saying a foolish world, or the foolish Nebuchadnezzar who's running this world at this time in Babylon, as it is also today, we must get our interpretation of foolishness biblically. It says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good.
14, verse 1.
Actually, the whole psalm is actually very precious for us to read and get at home.
Okay.
So, my brothers and sisters, if we remember carefully what we have studied about Nebuchadnezzar himself, he tried to convince us that he actually believed in the true God of the Bible, the living God. But we did see, brothers and sisters, looking at chapter number 2, verse 46 and 47, that the profession of Nebuchadnezzar was actually superficial. He did not believe in what he confessed with his mouth. So it is easy for people, brothers and sisters, to say some things with their mouth, to profess some things or confess some things in their mouth when they don't mean it from the deep down of their hearts. That is why our salvation is not based, is not a matter of what we say with our mouth, but a matter of what our heart confesses through our mouth. So people can say whatever they want to say with their mouth, but unless it comes from the heart, it is all useless, brothers and sisters. And we must remember, God knows our heart. The scripture says, He searches the heart and He is pleased with uprightness. So here in this book of Daniel, from verse number 1, in the beginning of this chapter, these verses, we see the true foolishness explained and displayed for us to learn from, that we may run away from such practices so that we may not get God angry. Nebuchadnezzar built a statue. He put it up in a plain of Dura. When you study carefully, it tells us the land was so plain, and it was actually high between two mountains, so that it's so high in a way that everyone can see this statue, so that when it's time to worship, people may bow down and face this kind of a statue and worship the statue. We see the leaders of the time, people who were entrusted by positions in the times of Babylon, coming together with Nebuchadnezzar to dedicate this statue for worship. We see a commitment of the people living in Babylon, not just the Babylonians, the Jews, the Persians that were actually in Babylon at the time, also living willingly, the Babylonians, all of them becoming a team together, making a big orchestra, singing before this event take place. A statue of gold, huge statue of gold in front of them. And when you look at chapter number 2, we see that Nebuchadnezzar, in his dream, he dreamt a statue also, but only the head was of gold, and the other parts of the statue were different parts of metal, bronze, and silver, and clay. And the interpretation we found in chapter number 2, brothers, is that only the head represented Nebuchadnezzar, only the head represented the kingdom of Babylon, and there will come other kingdoms after Babylon. These kingdoms will lead to a time in history where God will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. There will come a kingdom of a Christ, a kingdom of a stone cut from a mountain, a kingdom of a stone that was so small and it grew and filled up the whole air. It's very important to remember that. Because now we see Nebuchadnezzar building the whole statue apparently, or maybe the same kind of a statue that he dreamed of. Now he's building this whole thing as gold, not just the head.
So
Nebuchadnezzar is actually saying, brothers and sisters, there will be no other kingdom that will come after him. He thinks his kingdom is a kingdom that will be a kingdom that will never be destroyed, a kingdom that will last forever. We see in his attitude where he leads the people to worship this statue. So in his ignorance, brothers and sisters, he thought that should be the one and only kingdom. He is denying what we read in chapter number 2, that only God is one who is worthy of worship. Because today he's dedicating a statue that the whole people, everyone in Babylon, tongues and nations must bow down before this statue. So, according to Nebuchadnezzar, God is not to be worshipped as we studied last time. So he's denying the fact, brothers and sisters, that only God can worship. He's denying the fact that, brothers and sisters, only those who have a saving relationship with God through Christ Jesus can only worship. Because now everyone is called to worship. That in that we see the foolishness of
Nebuchadnezzar.
We see the foolishness of the whole world. The foolishness was to think that there is no God. In verse number 15 of this chapter, this is what we find from the mouth of Nebuchadnezzar. Towards the end of verse 15. Who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? According to Nebuchadnezzar, there is no God that will deliver the children of God from his hands. Because Nebuchadnezzar says, whosoever doesn't bow to this statue, he will be put in a burning fire. And no God. And no God will save you. That was the foolishness, thinking that there is no God, although he's been told in chapter number 2 that there is a God in heaven. Actually, God also proved to this Nebuchadnezzar that his God who's there, who reveals mysteries, who sets times and dates, who sets up kings after kings, a fool says there is no God in his heart. The foolishness was to think that God can be replaced by an image. The foolishness was to regard that there can be another thing to be worshipped rather than the true and the living God. We see the foolishness of the people joining Nebuchadnezzar, thinking that running away from the fires of Nebuchadnezzar was an answer. But in running away from the fires of this world, brothers and sisters, we learn that they ran straight actually to the fires of hell. So choosing this world and choosing God was the biggest foolishness we see in this
chapter.
The foolishness was to think that man now has the right to determine who is to be worshipped and how is to worship. And we find in the Bible, brothers and sisters, God determined who is to worship and how, and only Him alone is worthy. It was foolishness for people to think they determine who is to be worshipped. So in this remaining time, let me give you five things that we must learn from, how is to be aware of this thing, or five things to teach us how not to be fools as these people were fools.
Okay,
there's no time. These are the things that the devil is still doing in this day, and is using people this day. So we need to open our eyes and be sober minded and know what is right from what is wrong. We see idolatry, number one, in this chapter. In verse 1-7, idolatry. And idolatry, brothers and sisters, is everywhere in our community today. Even in the churches, there is idolatry. We see Nebuchadnezzar putting up a statue and replacing the living God with an unliving thing for the people to worship. He commands the people to worship this thing. He commands the people to do an abominable deed so that they steal the glory and the honor and the worship from the true and a living God. What is idolatry? Idolatry actually is the forever natural craving of human beings from within them, craving for something visible to express their religious conviction and their religious ideas by building an image with their own hands, an image with their own hearts, image representing their own thinking and imaginations. Idolatry is to idolize an object.
It can be
any object that men adore and replacing God in his heart with that object. It is always motivated by the devil. It is always finding its motivation from the hearts of people who are evil and haters of God. It is a practical explanation or a visible form for us to see the inside of man who's always craving to replace God in his heart, trying to do things in his own way, while there is God to be worshipped. In our days, there are many statues, brothers and sisters, visible and invisible. We see a golden statue in Babylon, but in our days, there's money. People has put money as an object before God. They choose money than God. Put money here, you will see how many people jump. Some of us cannot come to church anymore. We ask our own bosses. People, they ask their own bosses, if is there any overtime that I can work even on Sunday? I just want money. Whether we like it or not, brothers and sisters, money has replaced God. The craving of money has become, has made money an object that replaced God, an object that man adores more than the living God.
Some,
they love cars. I've seen and I've met many who love cars. They can use whatever time they have. They can use whatever money they have to change the car and make it a little bit different than it was when it was built. He washes on Saturday. He washes on Sunday. He washes on Monday. He changes the mattress. He changes the seats. He spends his time. His whole mind and being is being captured by this picture of this car in his head. I've seen people loving sport than anything else. I actually work with people that speak about sport from 7 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night. They know every replacement of a soccer star who moves from one team to another. They know every score in this world of soccer. But they know nothing about God. Idolizing other people. People, they will kill you for their own superstars that they love more than they love God. We need to be careful. I said, I'm just saying these five things, brothers, so that we are careful, so that we see this picture that Nebuchadnezzar is building here in Babylon and putting it, injecting it in the minds of the people. This is the thing. He's injecting it in their minds. He's making sure that they're only thinking about this statue and nothing else but the statue. Just like this world. They idolize people. They love people than they love God. Yeah, they idolize people. They will kill you from a guy called Pastor Chris if you tell them that is not of God. They will kill you for some lady who stands on TV making herself a prophet, causing people to roll on the ground like idiots and like snakes. They will kill you. He's better than God. If you go and say, repent, turn away from your sins. If you repent and come to Jesus, He sets you free. If you become a child of God, the demons have no right to be in you. A Christian cannot be demonized. They will tell you, you're a liar. They are Christian demonized. Brothers and sisters, when the Son set us free, He set you free and free indeed. Let me pass from that one. But other people are being idolized. You get people like the Dalai Lama, the Pope, the Chambers, the Lehanyanas, everybody is more important than God. Speak bad about them, you will see. That is idolatry. Not only that, brothers and sisters. What about our ancestral worship? Tell people that it is wrong. They will tell you, you were just called, they are fallen and dead people, demons maybe, but you have not. Brothers, idolatry includes the worship of the ancestors. Don't you see these things today? That is what Nebuchadnezzar is doing in this study. Leading everyone astray. We need to examine our commitment to some things in this life. We need to ask ourselves questions. Asking ourselves questions. What is it? What is it that steals my time to worship the true and the living God? Because whatever is stealing my time, it is exactly what I worship. What is it that has replaced my love for God? Because, brothers and sisters, idols, they steal our fellowship, our communion with God. Idolatry separates us from the true and the living God. The people who does this thing, they are forever away from God. They remain in spiritual darkness. They don't grow in their Christian walk. There's always a lack of Christian maturity. You wonder why their behavior doesn't change. For 4 to 5 years they have been called Christians, but they are just having an evil heart like the wishes of this location. Because they put their heart in a specific kind of an idol that they adore more than the true and the living God. You can see when you study here in verse number 1 to 7, they actually are afraid of people than afraid of God. They don't fear God. They don't fear God, who's got the right to destroy the body and throw into hell. They rather listen to Nebuchadnezzar. It says the people, all people, nations and languages. Yes, no, excluding Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. We're not there yet today. But just imagine, everyone just afraid of Nebuchadnezzar rather than being afraid of God who kills the body and throw to hell. Brother, it is foolishness to think that idolatry doesn't harm. Because you see yourself living each and every day. But God says it does harm us. Check what God is saying. That's harm. It causes harm. Yeah. It says here in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 4, maybe to 5. I'll read from 3 to 5. You shall have no other gods before me. Why? We'll see. You shall not make yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. Idolatry harms brothers and sisters. Look at this thing. An idol is something made by man. But the living God is not made by human hands. He is the one that creates people. An idol is something that you must always protect. But the living God is the one that protects those who believe in him, those who are his. Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar says, he says, whosoever does not bow and worship, he himself, yes, using his army, will put those people to death. What foolishness it is for trusting in these things of this world. That the little God that we have, the God that we protect using our own hands. But God, protect us. The little God that we have, we must fight for it. If you don't worship an idol, an idol doesn't kill you. But if you don't worship God and reject the true and living God, it is God that puts you to death. Heart, what foolishness is there? You speak to this thing. He doesn't answer you back. He doesn't hear you. But our God hears and listens to us. When he speaks back. He talks to us today. He teaches us. This idol, you must put it up, you must put it down. You must take it everywhere you go. If you have a small tuck shop, when you build this tuck shop, you must put it in front of this tuck shop. When you move a position of the door from the left to the right, you must take this thing to the left. You must put it behind your house. A picture of some guy in the Pompo. A picture of a Buddha. You must carry it, but our God carries us. In Him we live, in Him we move, in Him we have our being, so said the scripture. An idol is not even aware of what you're saying, what you're doing, where you're going. Your money doesn't save you in accident, doesn't do anything for you. But our God is all knowing. He knows the end from the beginning. That is the ungodly of this world. That is the foolishness of Nebuchadnezzar of this world. People worshipping idols. Things made by their own hands. Things made by their own minds. Resembling their own images. Resembling their own imaginations. That's the sign of a lost world, brother and sister. You need to examine yourself. Maybe you are lost. Secondly, we see a deceived leadership. Things that you might be aware of, a deceived leadership. We are told that Nebuchadnezzar called all the leaders, the governors, the people of this world, the counselors, and told them what to do. Do you check the leadership that you follow? Do you care about the people that lead you? Do you search correctly and see where they lead you? Are you aware that you might be sharing in the sin of the people that lead you if you're not following right? How many people are sharing in the sin of that young man who stole our land today? The people are not aware. The man is evil. The man is unchristian. The man is unhumane. He stole our land. But people are sharing in his sin today. Those that know the change sin, it is easy to follow a fallen leadership, brothers and sisters. A leadership that has given itself to ungodliness. Leading everyone to sin. Causing people to sin. In verse number 4, if you read carefully in verse number 4, we see that there were even preachers, people who were told what to say. They went out the whole land preaching and evangelizing this abomination. It says the heralds went everywhere, telling the people this news, saying to the people. It was not Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar only told the leaders. The leaders went out and told the people. Be careful. They said to the people, when you hear the music, no questions. Down on your knees. Face the chair statue. Call that thing God. Make that thing be the ruler of your life. Put away in your mind what you know about the living God. How many false teachers and false preachers and false leaders in this place? Do you care? Do you check? Hallelujah. The third thing that I need to go to, while I still have a little bit of time, the danger of one man's say. We see a danger of one man's say, a monocracy, an autocratic leadership. Someone who says what he says and what he says is right. We have experience, some of us have experience in this thing. They say what they say. They're telling you what to do. If you question, you remain an enemy. If you question, we are considered someone, we are considered a threat.
Are you
able to speak to your leaders?
Is
it easy for you to come to me and ask a question and get an answer? That's very important for us. You don't want a leadership that you must apply to talk to. They only care about you serving their purpose. They only care about us serving their vision. Watch out. Be careful of kind of leadership like this. A one-man voice. In chapter number 2, we see Nebuchadnezzar is a serious man, an autocratic boy. He says his wise men, these people that he taught, the people that are so demonic and follow these forces of darkness, he says for the fact that they did not tell this to them, they must all be put to death. And they were all going to die, Bazalwane. If it was not for grace, even unto us, if it was not for the grace of God, God delivered them through the interpretation of Daniel. But Nebuchadnezzar was serious. You want to see he was serious? When you read verse number 23 in chapter 3. We see Shadrach, Abednego, and Meshach been put in a fire. What he says goes. That's the kind of a leadership. That's the kind of a people that God must put up with these days. That's the kind of people and practices that we must be aware of these days. The fourth thing that I must deal with while I still have a little bit of time. When music is prominent in the life of this world, there is a danger. When music is something that controls the worship. Verse 5. When you hear the sounds of the music and all the instruments, you are to bow down and worship the image. Verse 7. Therefore, as soon as all the peoples, the nations, and the languages heard the music, they fell down and worshiped. Brothers and sisters, music is good. But music is very influential. Especially when music is taking the place of worship. When music is began to be called worship. Or when music is the one now that leads people to worship. Whatever game it is. We need to learn, brothers and sisters. These are the things that God wants us to know. It is the thing that God wants us to know, that music is not worship, but music is part of the worship. Music is never meant to lead people to worship. But that is what you get in a fallen and a foolish world. Once you get influenced by music, it becomes a very big problem. I can tell you, I was so much influenced in my life by music. Reggae and rock and roll. You might think there's nothing wrong with it. Brothers and sisters, I knew there is God in heaven. But I didn't give him the glory that he deserved because I was a sinner at the time. This reggae music, brothers and sisters, they sing about a different Messiah, not Jesus Christ. They worship a different Messiah. Actually, their religion is called Rastafarian. They've got a different Messiah. His name is Haile Selassie. And his their main prophet or an apostle is called Marcus Garvey. Every song is talking about them. I was chanting and going up and down and singing these things. Influenced by this music. Making God angry. Be careful. Few years ago. Okay. A young boy in Krugersdorp. He kills his friend with a sword. Bushed him in front of many witnesses in the school. When he was investigated, we find that he was influenced by a demonic force from some music, rock and roll music by a group called Slipknot. If you go and search these people, you see the pieces in their nose, you see the rings falling in their heads, you see the tattoos in their faces and their hair, the spikes they're wearing, the motorbikes, they're influenced. When they sing, they have to make noise and shout loud. And this boy listened to this thing and influenced him. He looked at these evil videos and he killed his friends inside, in front of the school. That is music where it's used wrong. Music is good, brothers. It can calm your spirit. It can lead you to a some sense of peace at times. It relaxes your mind. Listen to jazz. Listen to classic. It relaxes your mind. But there is a concern when music becomes something that leads you emotionally. Like these people here in Babylon, music must start first and they must fall into worship. Just like the so-called gospel music of this day. It leads people to emotionally, repeating one word for 5 minutes. It's very slow and very cunning voices leading you to cry, thinking that you worship my brother and my sister. We need to be careful what kind of things we're following. It's easy for any kind of music to lead somebody into some emotion, brothers. I grew up at home, there was a group called Soul Brothers. They sang a very sad songs, brothers. My father used to cry, I used to cry, all my brothers with me used to cry when he listened to this song. It says, Nisele ngedwa kulo usizi. Umama wangilaya wahlukana nobaba. Ngiyakhumbula mama wami. Ngisebe usimene namhlanje. Sad words. It touched us. Even my wife was telling me the same thing, that they actually used to cry the same song, but they were living in a different world than where I was. Why? Because it appears right. My father separated with my mother when I was 5, and this thing leaves me emotionally. So why is it today that emotions are very important? They are not. It is the words that we sing, the things that we say to God. Those are the things that are important. Not some music leading us into worship. That is unbiblical. It is unbiblical. You must wait for the music, then worship. Another man, I used to call him a friend some time back. I phoned him during December time, 2 years ago. I said, brother, in our church in Olivan, everybody's gone to Lesotho and wherever they've gone, and Mpumalanga, so me and my wife, we are alone, we want to come and worship in your church, to have fellowship with you. He says, we're also not worshipping this week. There's only 15 left of us. Everyone is gone. I said, that is a big number, 15. He says, no, all the people that lead worship, the worship leader, the orchestra is gone, so we can't come to worship. Nobody's going to lead us to worship. What foolishness is that? Brothers, worship is not that. People must not be led by songs. So be careful that you are not deceived like the people of Babylon. My aim is just for us to see what kind of people that God must deal with. What kind of people and kind of practices that we must be aware of these days. Don't fool yourself, my brother. Don't fool yourself, my sister. Music is not worship. Music is part of worship. Listen to Ephesians chapter number 5. It is all about singing songs to God with our hearts. I'm just going to read from verse 17 to 19. Therefore, do not be foolish. Don't be like these people of Babylon. Don't be like these people of this world. But understand what is the will of the Lord. Do not get drunk with wine, or it's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies to the Lord with your heart. It is a matter of a heart singing to God. Let no man fool you. Let no man lead you to false worship, where you must wait for the music, where the music must stay your emotions, where you must be entertained first before you fall down before some big statue. That is foolishness, brothers and sisters. That is abomination in the eyes of the Lord. That is idolatry. That is unbiblical. That is false practice. Lastly, point number 5. A deceived multitude. Be careful of a crowd. Verse 7 tells us that all the people, all nations, all languages, they gave in into this practice. They had no problem, brothers and sisters, to make God angry. They had no problem to replace God in their minds, even physically. They had no problem. They didn't ask any question. They had no problem to worship something that they have built with their own hands. We are living in a time where a crowd is very important. We are living in a world that is crowd-centered, where people, when it seems like when somebody's got a bigger crowd, is the one that is right. Is the crowd always right, brothers and sisters? Is it not here in Babylon where all people fell on their knees and worshipped an idol? But three godly men, three Jewish boys, true believers, the remnant of God, refused. Are you with the crowd?
Now,
or are you with the remnant? Are you of God or are you of the world? Is the crowd always right? Another friend told me, yes, the crowd is always right. We see here it is not right. I proved to him that the crowd is not right, always right. Remember a man who was born in Bethlehem. His name was Jesus Christ. He lived sinlessly. He pleased God and followed all the laws of God. But he was crucified at the cross after 3 years of doing right. Crucified by a crowd and remained alone. Was the crowd right? No. The crowd was wrong. Be careful of the crowd. Be careful of a foolish world like this world of Nebuchadnezzar. After knowing God, Nebuchadnezzar did not honor him as God. He did not give thanks to him, but became futile in his thinking. Claiming to be wise, he became a fool. Exchanged the glory of the immortal God with an image resembling mortal man. Ask yourself a question, my brother and my sister. What is it that replaces God in your heart? What is it that stops you from the fellowship of the believers? That is idolatry. Be careful of a leadership that follows a multitude. They are deceived leaders to deceive people. They will always threat you to hell. Be careful of one man's world, where one man's voice is dominant. Run for your lives. Christianity is never meant to be like that. Be careful of the misuse of music. Check what you're singing. Check when are you singing. And check why are you singing. Because there are false practices, false doctrines, false worship. Finally, be careful of a crowd. It might please the world to follow the crowd, but the crowd is not right. Not even politically, the crowd is never right. I'd rather have Jesus than everything. I'd rather remain with the three, Meshach, Abednego, and Shadrach. I'd rather be a fool with Nebuchadnezzar in the whole world. May the good God bless us while we meditate and think of these things in the whole week. This is the kind of a way, this is the kind of people that God must put up with. And is not going to put up with this thing for a very long time. In chapter number 2, there will come a time where he set up his kingdom, where his kingdom is going to be the only kingdom. And lawlessness will be judged. I say, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat with scoffers. Who does not stand in the ways of sinners. But his delight is to please God. His delight is in the word of God. He meditates about God and his word day and night. Because the wicked are not so, but they are like sharp. But the godly, they are like a tree planted by the rivers that pulls its water and gives life and gives leaves in the right season. Finally, brothers and sisters, the wicked will be judged. God knows the ways of the righteous, and the ways of the wicked shall perish. May the good God bless us, meditating on this thing. Let's think, let's pray to God that we may not fall into temptation, that we may be wise. Amen.
Amen.
Next week we shall continue in this third chapter of Daniel, maybe a little bit, taking a little bit different and a deeper road. May the good God bless us and let us all stand as I pray.